Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
All right, welcome to Talk is Jericho. And I wanted to do another solo show. I like doing these from time to time, and it is kind of fun. I'm actually currently in a hotel room in London looking for things to do, and I thought this would be a perfect time to give the history of the Painmaker. And it's actually quite poignant because not only have I made the Painmaker something very unique and exciting in the world of pro wrestling, and we'll get into the whole origin of the Painmaker character in real life, but I've also turned the Painmaker into a extensive series of NFTs. Now, we had David Shapiro on a couple months ago. If you're still kind of trying to figure out what an NFT is, you can go back and listen to that. But basically, NFT is a piece of art that you can only get through the blockchain. And, you know, I don't want to give you a whole butchered explanation of what an NFT is, but a few months ago, back in August, we put out the first Painmaker NFT. We released, I believe it was 50 of them, and they sold really fast, and it was kind of cool. It was all based around the Painmaker, and it was kind of an animated 20-second cartoon of the Painmaker character. And of course, it involved the hat and the scarf and the spike jacket and the makeup and all that sort of stuff. And it did so well that I wanted to continue and make it almost like the first of a series, even though we didn't really set out to do that with the Painmaker NFT, the initial one. It was just kind of dipping a toe in the water and seeing how it would go, and it went really well. So I thought, well, why not make the second one kind of the second in the series, almost like this is going to be a chapter-by-chapter episodic NFT that you could put it all together at the end, whether there's 5 of them or 10 of them or 20 of them or however many we do, and each one leads to the next. So I thought, for anybody that's seen the initial one, when the spikes come out of the jacket and the fires come out of the eyes in this kind of cartoon character, you know, Marvel-esque universe, that is the sign that the Painmaker is going to be facing danger. So in the second one, which is there's still units left, shall we say, for part two, we find the reason why that the spikes came out of the jacket and that the fire came out of the eyes is that the Painmaker is about to face one of his huge rivals, kind of a half scorpion, half spider type of creature. And, you know, he's kind of meeting up with him in a back alley. And is it a back alley of this world? Is it a back alley of another world? And we'll kind of get into all that sort of stuff later on. But anyways, I wanted to take the Painmaker, and I thought it was perfect for an NFT because it does have a lot of kind of really fantastic qualities to it, and it's something that would be very fantasy-based. So we'll get back to kind of my whole plan for the Painmaker outside of wrestling. But first, let's talk about the Painmaker inside of wrestling, away from the NFTs, because, of course, if there was no original Painmaker, I wouldn't have had the idea to do some exclusive NFT and beyond content with this character. So let's go back to 2018, Tokyo Dome, January 4th. I wrestled Kenny Omega in one of the most influential monumental matches in pro wrestling history. Of course, this is the match that did, I think, an increase of 300% of buys on New Japan World, sold an extra 15,000 tickets in Tokyo, and essentially was the match that Tony Khan heard about and saw and realized that there was a market in the States for another wrestling company. And that was because of the match that Kenny and I had. It was a 5-star match. I think the only Meltzer rated 5-star match I've ever had, although I think I've had a couple more. I still don't understand how Jericho and Benoit versus Triple H and Austin, where we won the titles from the 2-man power trip when Hunter tore his quad, is not a 5-star match, but that's a conversation for another day. Anyways, that started off my time in New Japan. And I remember going to New Japan and working with Kenny. And one of the things that I really was keeping an eye on was I was into Bruiser Brody at the time. Because if you remember, Bruiser died in 1988. This is 2018. It was the 30th anniversary of his death. And I really went through a Bruiser Brody phase where I was looking at all of his matches and kind of watching what he was doing and seeing how he was manipulating the crowd and just being a total psycho to the fans and to the other Japanese wrestlers. And I thought, well, I want to do a kind of a modern day version of this. Obviously, I'm not as big as Bruiser was, but wrestlers aren't as big now in 2018. This is what I was thinking at the time, as they were in 1988. So I could go there and just steamroll and beat the shit out of the guys. And so the Kenny match was kind of the transition phase between the, I guess, the List character, you would say, in WWE, and the Painmaker, where I was, you know, I was still wearing the light up jacket, or maybe it was a light up jacket, and still the short tights and the scarf, that sort of thing. And I remember thinking, like, this doesn't really fit what I want to do here in Japan, because as you guys know, I always like to evolve and update the characters that I'm doing, and then the things that I'm kind of portraying in the ring. And I thought this needs an update. So that's basically what I decided to do. And the next task for me after Kenny was working with Naito. And I really, I came out of the crowd, Cork and Hall, and beat him up. And I just kind of really felt a little bit more crazy, a little bit more insane, a little bit more unhinged, slowly stepping away from the kind of the rules that the WWE had, which is fine because it's WWE, and doing more of the rules of New Japan, where there really wasn't a lot of rules. It was more just guns for hire, four to the floor, blood on the ice, let's start, you know, kicking some ass. So that's kind of where it all started and where it all began. And I remember somebody had drawn a picture of Chris Jericho as the Joker. And I thought, that's really interesting. I like this idea of Chris Jericho as a Joker. And I thought, I need something different to do rather than just play this kind of List character, for lack of, you know, drink it in man version of Jericho in 2017. So I started thinking, I want to be more violent and I want to be more of a fighter. And so I was thinking, like, what would a serial killer look like if he was in a pro wrestling ring? Like some kind of a horror movie character, like Jason Voorhees or Jigsaw, or, you know, something along those lines. Leatherface, you know, the classic Art the Clown horror movie killers. I thought, well, maybe if he had some kind of paint on. And I had gotten this girl named Kate Lomax from England to do a jacket for me. She had the idea of having these kind of spikes on it. So I said, okay, well, I'll have the jacket with the spikes. And what if I put some paint on? What kind of paint would I put on? I thought, what if it's kind of like a cross between Alice Cooper with kind of the I guess he has kind of a line going through his eye, but there'll be kind of lines on the side and a little bit more pointed than Alice has, kind of a Clockwork Orangey type thing with some lipstick on, where it almost looks like if you're like a drunk chick going out to the bar and you try to put lipstick on and you put it on too much and it kind of slides down the side, like, look what I can do, and you know, has some lipstick kind of smudged all over. So I kind of thought that might be kind of cool. And I remember I showed it to Gato at the dojo when we were going over the match for Naito, which is pretty funny. I just said Will Ospreay told me this story, and a lot of people have told it to me that when people put together matches with Naito, they usually have a little bit of difficulty with him. I guess he's very self-conscious about the match, or he overthinks it a lot. And he, I guess I came in and out of there, we'll say it was 48 minutes of putting together the match, because I had some ideas. I said them to him. Red Shoes, the referee, kind of translated it to him. And I guess he was a little bit intimidated by me, maybe a little bit scared. And he agreed that the match was ready in 48 minutes. And I think he enjoyed it. We had two matches in Japan. Both of them were really, really good. I really enjoyed both of them. Anyways, we were in the dojo, and I told Gato I'm going to wear some makeup for this match. And he looked at the picture that this fan had drawn of the Joker, and it was the guy was wearing a hat, like a fedora sort of thing. And Gato said, "Do you want a fedora too?" And I thought, "Well, I don't have one." He said, "I have one. I'll bring it for you." I thought, "Well, that's kind of cool. I'll put some makeup on. We'll have the spiky jacket, and I'll get the fedora from Gato, and let's kind of see what happens." So I remember I think we were in Osaka, and I was having the match against against Naito, like I said. And I put the makeup on. It was kind of a little bit unsteady. You know, you put it on the crossway from top to bottom, and put it on the side, and have the smudged lipstick. And then I put the jacket on, and there's kind of a scarf. It was more of a white scarf, kind of a beigey type scarf. And I put some gloves on. I like the black gloves look. And I looked in the mirror and I thought, this is really cool. It's kind of a psycho-looking, serial killer-esque thing. And I said, all right, well, here I go. Now, anytime you wear a new costume, and this is funny because the same thing happened when I went from long tights to short tights in WWE back in 2008 or whatever it was. That first walk out of the dressing room, whoever sees you almost dictates whether you're going to do this or not. And thankfully, like I said, I saw Bruce Pritchard first when I first put the short tights on back in WWE. I remember it was in Knoxville, Tennessee. And he said, oh, that looks good. What have you been covering up those legs for so long? And the second guy I saw was Dean Malenko, who goes, oh my God, you look terrible. Had it gone the other way around, I might have heard Dean's comment and split and ran away and went with the long tights and never went to short tights. So anyways, as I walk out of the dressing room with this makeup on and this hat on, thankfully it's Japan and no one even batted an eye. No one even said anything to me as I walked out with this new look. And once again, there was no pain maker at that point in time. It was more just this idea that I had to be a serial killer in the ring. And I remember Cody was there and Kenny was there. As a matter of fact, that was the night that I won the Intercontinental title from Naito, and it was Cody was their U.S. champion, Kenny was the heavyweight champion, and I was the IWGP Intercontinental champion. So it might have been one of the only times when three Gaijin were all together as champions. So I walked out of the dressing room, walked past everybody, nobody said a word about looking stupid or whatever, went to the ring and won the New Japan Pro Wrestling NJPW Intercontinental Championship with the first iteration of what the Painmaker would become.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
All right, welcome back to Talk is Jericho as we continue to discuss the origin and the history of the Pain Maker. And I talked about how I worked with Naito to win the Intercontinental Championship with the first version of the Painmaker, Painmaker 1.0, I guess you'd say. And then I went on to face Evil. Now, Evil's gimmick is obviously evil. He comes to the ring with a bunch of druids, kind of disciples, and they all wear kind of black distinctive masks. And they're just kind of those plastic face masks where it doesn't really have any detail or design on it. It's just an actual kind of just empty face, almost like a Michael Myers mask. So I thought because at the time I would come in and attack the opponent and before the match. So he came to the ring with all of his druids. I remember he was about to have a match with Zack Sabre Jr. I don't remember exactly where it was. Maybe in Fukuoka or something like that. And then I was one of his druids as well. And I proceeded to attack Evil and beat the crap out of him. And I unmasked the black faceless mask to reveal a white... No, sorry. No, let me rephrase that. I took off the black mask and it was me. Oh, I was the Painmaker. Ah, how crazy is that? So that was really cool. And then... for my entrance against Evil, I came to the ring, and this is where I took off the black face mask with the white Painmaker outline, white Painmaker makeup on it, and I took it off to reveal a white plastic face mask with the black Painmaker makeup on it, which was cool. So I had the match with Evil. It was a pretty good match. It was the main event in Osaka. It takes a drag of a cigarette. Never seen so many people. And just the kind of the evolution of the Painmaker, a little bit crazier, did some more kind of vicious type things. And then I had another match against Naito at the Tokyo Dome this time, once again wearing the makeup. And now the makeup is just part of the Chris Jericho character. I'm still listed as Chris Jericho, right? Where Painmaker came from is the next match I had after losing to Naito at the Tokyo Dome 2019. Was in June. Once again, all my matches seemed to be like the Tokyo Dome or in Osaka, because those are the big shows, January and June. And the June show in 2019 was against Okada, who is called the Rainmaker. So therefore, I said, well, I'll call myself the Painmaker, and now I have a name for this character. And the cool thing about it is now people could... kind of mimic this character. I remember Naito before the Tokyo Dome show, his whole entrance was based around him wearing some Painmaker paint or something along those lines. Although it was blue for some reason. He must not have had any black paint. And what I basically use is I use black lipstick and black eyeliner. That's the secret of the Painmaker. It's not like Stein's Clown White that Kiss uses or some kind of Hollywood makeup. It's basically just black lipstick that I bought on Amazon and an eyeliner pencil that you have to have a pencil sharpener for, or else it gets dull very quickly and it hurts to put on. So I had both of those. I remember one time I ordered something from Amazon and my daughter found it. She says, Dad, why do you have black lipstick? I'm like, yeah, I'm one of the only fathers that you know that makes a living wearing black lipstick that he puts over his eyes. So we did the Painmaker, and then I had a kind of a whole cool kind of intro with all these other Painmakers. That might have been for the next match against Tanahashi. But now, like I said, you could now dress up as the Painmaker. You could draw pictures of the Painmaker. You could have Painmaker disciples. So there was all of this really cool thing that you could do now that the Painmaker had a name and had a look. And it was official. Now, you can even leave just the Chris Jericho behind and just make it the Painmaker. You know, and then, of course, I did that again against Tanahashi. And that was the one where we filmed this really cool vignette in L.A. with Gold Wolf Productions is the name of the studio. And he had like five or six kind of independent wrestlers dressed up as the Painmaker. And then I came and kind of waltzed in there with my Painmaker guys. So there was a lot of stuff the Painmaker could do with this new look. And like I said, you would go to shows and see people dressed up as the Painmaker. Darcy from Last Drive-In dressed up as the Painmaker. And so it was really kind of a cool thing. And I thought it was perfect for Japan. It was the perfect character for Japan because they have this distinction, obviously, with Great Muda and Great Muto for many years, where you could be a non-makeup guy, you could make it be a makeup guy. And obviously, everyone knew that it's Chris Jericho, but because it has this Painmaker element to it, then suddenly it becomes something even cooler. And plus, I could almost have an alter ego where I could go completely nuts and do the Bruiser Brody and just beat the hell out of people and go from there. So that was kind of the whole initial idea for what the Painmaker was. And of course, the last time I worked in New Japan was against Tanahashi, which was amazing. Painmaker versus the Ace. And we had a great match. Maybe my favorite one. I know the one with Kenny was kind of critically acclaimed more, but the one that I had with Tanahashi, I think I might have enjoyed it even better. Both guys I faced for the first time ever in that ring. I'd never touched Kenny Omega or worked with him in any way, shape, or form until the Tokyo Dome. And same thing with Tanahashi. I'd never worked with Tana or touched him in any way, shape, or form other than those matches at the Tokyo Dome. So that was kind of it. And then, you know, what do you do with the Painmaker? Is that kind of the end of the line for this character? Would this character work in the United States? You know, would this character be accepted? And I think because, you know, people, especially AEW fans, are very educated and had kind of kept up with what I was doing in New Japan. And of course, during the course of this time, AEW started, I believe, January of 19 or February of 2019 is when we had our first initial press conference. So the people that kind of were following AEW's inception knew that Chris Jericho was going and knew that Chris Jericho had spent the last few years as the Painmaker in Japan. So it only seemed natural that when we had just started AEW, October 2nd, 2019 was our debut, and I had won the world title from Adam Page, who is now the current AEW champion. Congratulations to him. So anyways, we had started out very hot. We had formed the Inner Circle. The second week, we had done some more work. So the third week, we wanted to have a really big match, and Tony wanted me to face one of the younger guys. And I was really into Sonny Kiss. Still am. I think Sonny is a very untapped, unique talent. Tony wanted me to work with Darby Allin. So I thought, okay, that's great. And I remember, you know, I'm telling a lot of little stories here all at once, but it's all part of the story of the Painmaker. Darby had come up to me the week before and said, I want to do this thing where you tie my hands behind my back. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he showed me this clip that he had done where someone had taken tape, tied it around his hands that were behind his back. And then he did all these acai moonsaults and a dive outside and all this crazy stuff, kind of shuffled his way up to the top rope with his hands behind his back. Really, really cool stuff. And I was like, no, at first. I remember thinking, no. And I was like, get your head out of your ass, Jericho. It's the first time anybody's ever seen this. You want to put a spotlight on this young guy. You want to put a spotlight on this kid. Let's do it. So I came up with the idea of, like, you know, how could I do this with rules? Well, you can't. So let's do kind of a street fight type thing. I think it was in Philadelphia. It was a Philadelphia street fight. And I thought, well, Darby wears makeup. So kind of a cool alter ego idea for that would be the Painmaker. So I told Tony Khan, what if we debut the Painmaker on American soil for the first time ever against Darby Allin? And he thought that was a great idea. So here we go. And it's the same thing as when I was first taking the character to Japan, when I walked out of that dressing room. What's everybody going to think? Well, now the Painmaker at least had a little bit of steam behind him, but still he had never been on American TV. And what's the difference between Chris Jericho and the Painmaker? Well, it really isn't a lot, but there is a little bit more violent, a little bit more, I don't know, vicious maybe, but plus two, I'm also a heel. So just a different kind of way to do things. So I worked with Darby. We had a really good match. And I remember just really digging the fact that it was the Painmaker and, you know, you wear the cutoff shirt and you got the makeup and the hat, and now it's a full thing. Like I said, you know, I remember, and I was kind of wearing that outfit in the initial stages of AEW as well. I think one of the first action figures that we had from Jazzwares kind of had the spiky jacket and the fedora. So now, if you notice, I don't wear that anymore. That is specifically Painmaker only outfit. DC Comics did an amazing Chris Jericho picture, and it was all kind of Painmaker based. I don't even think it had the makeup on yet. So it was kind of like, once again, it was a really cool look and I didn't want to just not wear it, especially when, you know me, I always like to evolve and update my look and my character and my gimmick and that sort of thing. So I kind of had the spiky jacket. I kind of had the fedora. I kind of had the gloves, but no pain. I was still calling myself Chris Jericho. But this was a chance to do all these things and be the pain maker. Had a great match with Darby. I remember he went to the top rope and Jake Hager pushed him off. And at the time, I got a lot of heat because, why would you have to have assistance to beat this kid? He's so small and you're the world champion. I was like, you guys don't get it. I'm telling you right now, he's going to be something very special. Plus, I'm a heel. So the more ways you can take advantage and get a big win, the better it's going to be. So that's kind of what we did. And that was the debut of the Painmaker in AEW. And then fast forward about a year or so, this summer when we were doing the Labors of Jericho, which I based on the five Labors of Hercules. Actually, I think it was about the 10 or 11 Labors of Hercules, but this was the five Labors of Jericho where I had to go through four guys to get to MJF, who would be the fifth labor. And once again, came up with the idea of working with Nick Gage. And Nick is so crazy, and we were having this Nick Gage death match, which, of course, this is the first and only death match that I've ever had, you know. And I decided, well, a good way to do that, you know, after MJF had announced that my next opponent would be Nick Gage, and I see him on the stage walking out with a pizza cutter. We did the big interview from behind with Alex Marvez later on the show. And I turned around and said, you know, there's somebody special that's going to be meeting up with Nick Gage. And I slowly turn, and it's the Painmaker. And I got a big pop for people seeing the Painmaker makeup, because now they kind of know exactly what it is in the States. So we'll talk more about the match with Nick Gage, and we'll get more into NFTs and the idea that I have to make the Painmaker more than just a wrestling character when we come back on Talk is Jericho.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
All right, welcome back to Talk is Jericho, talking about the history and the origins and the future of the Painmaker. So we were talking about Nick Gage and about how his style is as this deathmatch destroyer. And so I thought, well, maybe if I do something a little different and kind of put together the Painmaker, have the Painmaker involved, it kind of adds a little bit extra aura, you know. And once again, people don't really know who Nick Gage is, so now they get a chance to kind of see him on a full, you know, national television platform. But also, too, the fact that the Painmaker's involved also puts, you know, a little bit of extra spin on it. So keep in mind, it's only the second time the Painmaker had ever wrestled in AEW, and, you know, by name officially only the fourth time, with Okada and Tana being the first two. And then, of course, there was the two Naito matches and the Evil match where I was wearing the look, but the actual Painmaker name has only specifically wrestled four matches. So we did the match with Nick Gage and came up with all the cool spots that you saw. One of my favorite matches. I mean, you know, talk about a five-star match. I don't know if there's such thing as a five-star death match. And of course there should be. I mean, of course there is. In my opinion, it was a, you know, 4.5, five-star match. If I ever do an addendum to my List of Jericho book, I'd put it in there as 4.5 stars, 5 stars. I never had a full-fledged death match before. I'll never have a full-fledged death match again. But that night, we had a great one, and it culminated, which is a kind of a cool spot. It's funny because it's now been appropriated and used by somebody else in AEW, which, of course, opens the door if I ever wrestle with him, talking about Malakai Black. But I was thinking of something towards the end that could really turn the tide, because Nick was using the light tubes and all that other stuff. And I thought, well, what if I blow mist? Haven't seen any mist in years. Obviously, talked about the Great Muta earlier. That is a Great Muta, you know, a classic vintage trait. Tajiri did it in WWE for a while, and I thought this will be really cool if I do some sort of mist. So I told Tony about it, and he goes, well, what color is it going to be? And I said, it's going to be black. And he's like, oh, that's great, because Moody used the black mist once in 1987. It was even worse than the green. And the reason I want it to be black is because obviously the Painmaker is kind of a black, darker character. So we did the whole thing, and Nick was beating the crap out of me. And he went for the glass bundle, and I blew the mist in his face and did the whole Muda thing. And it just made sense to me that the Painmaker would blow mist, right? Because he's a mysterious type of character. And then, of course, Malachi Black comes in and starts using the mist, and of course, doesn't realize that the Painmaker had done it. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't, but I'm not using the mist as Chris Jericho anytime soon. So until the Painmaker comes back, the mist is all his. And then who better to face Malachi Black and kind of his dark character at some point than the Painmaker? So maybe we'll have a mist versus mist off or something like that. So anyways, that's the Painmaker in the real world. That's the Painmaker in real life and how it all started. So a couple years ago, probably, back in 2018, I did a movie with Kevin Smith. It's called Kilroy Was Here. And it was filmed in Sarasota, outside of Tampa, by kind of a smaller kind of a film school type thing. And somehow Kevin got involved as the writer of this script. And then I think he eventually even took it over as director. And it's a horror anthology like Creepshow. And I don't even know what my chapter is called. But anyways, I was talking to Kevin. I was asking him if he was in L.A. because I wanted to do a watch along of the Bad News Bears. You guys have heard that here on Talk is Jericho. And he's like, no, I'm filming in Tampa or in Florida for the next few weeks or months or whatever it was. I said, oh, dude, where? And he said, Sarasota. I said, that's just down the road from me. That's hilarious. And he goes, do you want to come play with us? And I was like, what do you mean? He said, do you want to come play with us? Do you want to come be in this movie? And we had talked for years because we'd been friends for years, appeared on each other's podcasts, et cetera, et cetera. Like, okay, like, you know, we got to do something together. It's the typical, like, we got to tour together if you're in a band, you know, we got to have a match together if you're a wrestler. And this was, we got to do a movie together. And I was like, sure, just say the word. And I've heard this all before, but he actually said, come play with us in Sarasota. So I thought, this is great. It'll be really cool to be in a Kevin Smith movie. And, you know, obviously I was a big fan of his when I was growing up and still am. And, well, growing up, mid-20s era, in my 20s, I guess I'd say. So he sends me the script, and it's actually a really big part. It's the whole kind of antagonist of this one whole, you know, part of the anthology. One of the chapters, and I play the Gator Hunter, and the Gator Hunter doesn't just hunt gators. He actually hunts homosexuals as well. He's trying to out people who are looking for private dates and that sort of thing. Just a terrible, terrible person who meets a very terrible, terrible demise. So my point is, we did this movie. It turned out well. Kevin was super excited by what I did, gave me the part in Jay and Silent Bob Reboot. We've talked about doing more stuff together, but he was really impressed by my skills and by my, you know, by the way I played this part and all the stuff that I did with it. And then I never hear anything about it. And I'm thinking, is it going to be in the theaters? Is it going to go on Netflix? Is it going to go on Amazon? Is it going to go on Hulu? And then, of course, the pandemic comes and just kind of wipes everything out. Everything stops. I think, well, if there's ever going to be a time for a fully done, mixed, mastered, colorized, and sounded Kevin Smith movie, he'll be able to sell it to anybody right now. Everyone's looking for content. Well, it didn't work out that way. Or at least, I don't know for sure. I'll have to talk to Kevin. Hopefully, we'll discuss that here on Talk is Jericho. But my point is, he decided to release the movie as an NFT. And that means he's going to sell the movie to one person with probably some kind of distribution deal built into it. Anyways, what does all that mean for the Painmaker? Well, then I started talking to David Shapiro, who has been on the show before, as you guys heard. And we started discussing about doing an NFT, some kind of a Chris Jericho NFT. And I've seen a few NFTs that are really good. And I've seen a few NFTs that are kind of really lazy. And I didn't want to do anything lazy because I don't do things that way. So I thought, what can I do that's special? I don't want this to just be some Chris Jericho promo piece or some clip of me putting somebody in the walls of Jericho or something. I want it to be something really special. And that's when we thought, what about doing the Painmaker? I kind of suggested this to David, and he's like, oh, that sounds like a great idea. Let's do an animated version of the Painmaker. So that's kind of where it all started. And like I said earlier, we put together the first incarnation of this Painmaker NFT, where, you know, like I said, he's walking, there's music playing, and there's, I think, 50 moving parts of the spikes coming out and the fire in the eyes. And it looks kind of almost like an ethereal, I don't know, demonic character, spiritual character, some kind of a Wendigo or something like that. So then when it did really well, and I just liked the idea of it, I thought, what if my indoctrination, if my contributions to NFTs is Painmaker exclusive. Now, I know there's still some people that don't like NFTs. Somebody actually said on one of the comments for the new NFT, NFT, no fucking thanks. But I'm telling you guys, this is not a scam. You don't have to buy one if you don't want to. I'm just telling you, in about 2, 3, 4 years, so much content is going to be on NFTs. I think that's so artists and musicians are going to be able to start taking the music back. I think you're going to see a lot more, product on NFTs, and a lot more of kind of what I'm doing now, setting the tone for you guys so you know what it is in the future. So I thought, let me do a chapter by chapter story of the Painmaker. So, and I thought, like I said, okay, well, what if when the spikes come up, that equals danger for the Painmaker? And then I said, what if he's getting attacked by some kind of a giant insect? And originally, the giant insect that they had, it was just like a scorpion. And I was like, no, it can't be just a scorpion. It needs to be half scorpion, half spider. So that's kind of what he comes up against in the back alley. And that's what he saw in the first NFT to kind of, you know, almost like, I don't know, a bad example, like a skunk will get ready to spray the mist, or a porcupine will get ready to shoot the quills at you. So it was the half scorpion, half spider. And they asked me, what do you want to call it? And I said, why don't we call it? I was trying to think of a name, like Arachdemonos. I like that. Like, that's a cool supervillain name, Arachdemonos. Well, what is Arachdemonos? So I thought, well, Arachdemonos is maybe one of the Painmaker's rivals that he's been searching for a while. So all of these things that we're kind of talking about in the NFTs will be revisited, and I'll tell you how in a bit. And then when we tried to think, what's the name of it going to be of the second episode, I said, let's call it Death at First Sting. This chapter of the story is Death at First Sting. Obviously, because Arachdemonos is half intergalactic spider and half intergalactic scorpion. Hope you guys are still with me on this. And there's a famous Scorpions album, the band Scorpions, called Love at First Sting, which is amazing. I thought, well, let's turn the tide and call it Death at First Sting. So that is what we did. And that's kind of the whole concept of the second NFT, to where now, obviously, the third NFT would be some sort of a battle between the Painmaker and Arachdemonos. But I'm going to tell you kind of what I want to do more with it. If you guys are still paying attention, this is pretty crazy. But there is a whole kind of plan that I'll lay out for you guys and explain when we come back right here on Talk is Jericho.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com. TRUGREEN.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
All right, welcome back to the evolution of the Paintmaker here on Talk is Jericho. I told you kind of my ideas for the NFTs we have released and what I want to do with NFTs in the future. But what this is all leading up to is I was really paying attention to what's going on with the Marvel Universe, right? And kind of, you know, they are using so many superheroes now. They got like Ant-Man and Wasp and Luke Cage, and they're all cool. But I was a kid with when these characters came out, and you never saw them. I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy, my goodness, you'd never even, they wouldn't even get any airtime in any of the comics. They were just little bit characters, but they're looking for heroes. And I thought, well, okay, let me see what I can do with this Painmaker idea. So the long-term idea is to take kind of these NFTs, and like I said, I don't know, people might get bored of them after the second one, but maybe if there's some kind of a following, we can do 10 chapters where, you know, you put them out and you put out 40 units and they go really fast. And at the end, someone can piece together, you know, all 10 episodes. And keeping in mind the beauty of the NFTs is there's only 40 of them of each episode. So if you have the whole, you know, whole set, whole series, when I was a kid, you wanted to collect every hockey card in the series. You know, I remember checking it off. Okay, there's 115. I need number 37. I need number 49. So my idea is to do the kind of a whole kind of series, a bunch of different chapters of the Painmaker NFTs, which would then culminate into a graphic novel. And you know me, guys, I don't just come up with this stuff lightly and just throw it out there. I really want to do a Painmaker graphic novel. And I'm saying it to you guys and putting it out into the universe because I really believe that it's going to happen. Cause this is how I rizzle. You know what I'm saying? So what I want to try and do, and if you guys have any ideas, throw them in there. But I've got a couple of different writers that I've approached to work with on this. What is the backstory of the Painmaker comic book character, the superhero character of the Painmaker? Now, obviously, there's many types of superheroes. There is Batman, who has no powers, really, and he's just a conflicted guy, but he's doing things for the good of the universe, you know, to keep the cities clean and keep America safe. And then, of course, you got Superman, who comes from another planet, and he has these, you know, unbelievable powers and these incredible feats of strength and speed that he can do. So you got that as well. Where does the Painmaker fit? Well, the Painmaker, and once again, I love saying this stuff because if you're into comics and if you're into graphic novels and into Marvel Universe movies, there's nothing I can say that's going to sound crazy. And if you think it sounds crazy, you're probably not listening to this anymore. Anyways, you probably skipped this episode and went to listen to, you know, Jay Lethal or whatever from a couple weeks ago, whatever it may be. So here's what I came up with. So the Painmaker, because remember when I first told you that I was trying to envision what would a serial killer look like if he was in the wrestling ring? Well, the Painmaker is a serial killer. He is an intergalactic serial killer, which means he can go into different dimensions. He goes to different planets because serial killers come in all shapes and sizes. It's not just Ted Bundy and the Toolbox Killers and, you know, all these type of Richard Ramirez and all these types of people. They are also creatures like Arachdemonos. Arachdemonos is one of the worst intergalactic serial killers that the Painmaker has been chasing through galaxy after galaxy and dimension through dimension to capture him. And the difference is, and here's the caveat, is that the Painmaker is also a serial killer, like I said, who reformed himself. And maybe he started on Earth. I don't know yet. I haven't decided. But the idea would be that he is a serial killer that reformed himself. And in order to, you know, redeem himself, he's going to go take out other serial killers because he knows how a serial killer thinks in all different ways, in all different galaxies. And maybe the Painmaker, when he decided to reform himself, maybe he changed his identity and got married and had kids. And maybe the kids and the wife were killed by an intergalactic serial killer. I know there's a little, there's some Dexter overtones here, but this is much more fantastic. And here's the thing. He now chases serial killers, intergalactic serial killers like Arachdemonos, throughout the galaxy, throughout the Milky Way, throughout the solar system. And when he captures them, he kills them because he was the best serial killer, the most evil, the most sadistic, the worst of the bunch. But he still is not over that yet. Killing intergalactic serial killers isn't enough for him because deep down inside, he still has this insatiable lust to kill innocent people. He is still a serial killer. And that's the tortured side of the Painmaker. He's not a hero. He's still a villain as well. He's trying to do his penance by killing other intergalactic serial killers only because he can't quench the thirst that he has inside of him to kill innocent people like a serial killer would. So that's kind of what I'm dealing with here. It's got, you know, it's got some moralistic ideas behind it. Obviously it has the adventure. Obviously it has the characters, and we can go anywhere we want with it. And it's the Painmaker. So he, when he's ready for battle, the spikes come out and, you know, the hair is there. And then, and even he's got the scarf, which I can't find that scarf. When I did the Nick Gage Painmaker, I had to use a different scarf because I couldn't find the one from Japan. So there you go. Somewhere there is a original Painmaker scarf, probably lost in a dressing room somewhere in a corner. So that would be the idea for the graphic novel, right? So I asked, you know, Kevin Smith, would you be interested in this? He's super busy. Asked a couple other people who are interested in it. So the idea, like I said, is to do a graphic novel. Now, do you do a graphic novel in the traditional sense where you release it on paper with inking and coloring and all that stuff? Or do we release the graphic novel as an NFT? Now you guys are starting to understand what I'm talking about. You could actually release this whole graphic novel, 100 pages or whatever it is, as an NFT. Only as an NFT. We're going to sell 1,000 copies of this graphic novel, or, you know, 200 copies or whatever it would be, at X amount of dollars. And if you buy one, you own it. And once they're gone, you can't get another one. It's almost like an old school comic. If you had Superman number one and you bought it and it got handed through the generations, you'd be a very rich man right now. Only thing is, you can't find it, or it's got dog ears, or somebody spilt a, you know, a lemonade on it, or whatever the hell it is. It can't happen with an NFT. So if we do this with a graphic novel, just like the very first two episodes of the Painmaker NFTs, you can never lose it and it can never be damaged. So that's kind of what I'm thinking of, taking this to a graphic novel NFT. That's step one. I guess step two, if the NFTs are step one. Step three is to actually make a movie, a Painmaker movie. And how we do that, I mean, this is kind of outside the NFT world. I'm hoping it's going to be such a huge hit on the NFT format that it's going to be a no-brainer, that people will just be clamoring to pay me, you know, millions of dollars for the rights to the Painmaker to do a movie. But I was thinking, like, wouldn't that make sense? Like, somewhere we're going to have to create new comic book movie heroes. And why does it always have to be, you know, I mean, obviously Marvel Universe is the biggest thing, but, you know, Marvel Universe only has so many characters. How many more Spider-Man movies do we need? I don't know. I can't keep track. It's Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3, and then Spider-Man 1 and 2, and then Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3 again. You have to watch 1, 2, and 3 to understand what's going on 1, 2, and 3, right? So that's kind of what I'm thinking. Like, if this Painmaker goes well, and obviously, geez, an intergalactic superhero movie, Like, that's not going to cost a lot of money. I get it. It's expensive. No problem. I understand. But my point is, what if we could do it? Like, what if the Painmaker, and I think that's a pretty interesting thing, intergalactic serial killer, can go anywhere you want, any planet, any time, any zone. There is no limits. Underwater, in the sky, in the forest, you know, underground, whatever it may be. Any type of creature, any type of diabolical villain, the Painmaker has to best it. But there's also maybe another intergalactic, I don't know, super sheriff who's looking for the Painmaker. The same way that the Painmaker is looking for all these other intergalactic serial killers. So you can weave all that stuff in there. And, you know, who knows? Maybe in 5 years or 10 years, you guys will listen back and go, holy shit, Jericho called it. He said there was going to be a Painmaker graphic novel. First of all, a series of Painmaker NFTs, then a Painmaker graphic novel, and then a Painmaker movie. So this is what my goal is for this character over the long haul. You know, maybe I'll be the next Stan Lee. Maybe Painmaker will be the next, you know, Superman. One step at a time, said the man. So that's kind of the idea. And also, too, I'd like to do the Painmaker a few more times in AEW, a few more times in New Japan. I mean, like I said, I would love to do Painmaker versus Malakai Black. That's a no-brainer. I would love to do Painmaker versus Sting. Oh, that's amazing. Bat versus Bat. Are you kidding me? Think about that for a bit. You know, Painmaker, I don't know. Who else you got? Painmaker versus Shingo. I think Chris Jericho and Will Ospreay would be better. And maybe Chris Jericho and Minoru Suzuki. I would like to have that match as well. But that'd be more of kind of just two guys beating the shit of each other. But I find that Painmaker's a little bit more whimsical, a little more mysterious. So when you're in there with a Sting or a Darby Allin or a Malakai Black, it kind of fits that tone. You know what I mean? Like the Painmaker would be hanging out with Abaddon. That's sort of a vibe. So that's kind of where we're at. And that's kind of my imagination, which people always give me critical acclaim. Oh, you're always re-evolving and reinventing and all that sort of stuff. And yes, I am reinventing right now. Even as I'm speaking to you, more ideas are coming to me of what we could do with the Painmaker character. So if you guys are interested in checking out the newest Painmaker NFT, all you got to do is just go to semkor.io, and that's semkhor.io/death-at-first-sting. And you will see that that new episode, I guess we'd say, and you'll see Arachdemonos, and you'll figure out kind of what we're talking about here. And I think the sky's the limit, because like I said, I mean, I think the Painmaker is a great character for wrestling. I can't use it all the time, nor would I want to. It's a great kind of, you know, you use it when the time is right. But we could build a whole NFT, you know, comic book universe around the Painmaker, both in the blockchain and in the crypto world and in cyberspace, and also in real life as well. So that's it. I hope you guys stuck with me for this whole time. I hope you enjoyed hearing about the origin of the Painmaker and kind of where I want to take it in the future. And I will be so cheeky, as we say here in England, since I've been here for so damn long, to ask myself, what was your favorite Painmaker match? And like I said, there's only been four official Painmaker matches and seven total. Let me see. There was five in New Japan. Yeah, so there's only been seven kind of Painmaker influence matches. But my favorite one of them all was the one with Nick Gage. I just loved that match. I thought it came across so well. It gave Nick a huge spotlight, put us all in completely a different look, a different world. The pizza cutters and the tempered glass and the mist. I love the mist. So there you go. Malakai Black versus the Painmaker. Mist versus mist. So I love it on Halloween, like I said, when people dress up as the Painmaker. Girls and guys, it looks super cool. There is something to it, because anytime somebody utilizes their own time to come up with a costume based around something you created is very, very cool. So I love seeing that. I love seeing the Painmaker art. There's a lot of Painmaker tattoos as well. I've posted a few over the last year or so of people coming up with this. There's a female Painmaker tattoo. There was kind of a cross-section, different versions of Jericho Painmaker tattoo. So I love all that stuff, because that shows something Jimmy Hart told me years ago. You can't force people to make signs. And what he meant by that is, you remember, if you look at the 90s, how people always had all those signs they were holding up. It was so insane. It's not as much like that nowadays, but you can't force people to make signs, and you can't force people to dress up in a character that you created. And that's the Orange Cassidy, tons of Orange Cassidys in the crowd, tons of Darby Allins in the crowd, because it's easy to dress up as these guys. And it's the same with the Painmaker. The makeup was never designed to be super hard. Like I said, like every time I put it on, the times I put it on, the makeup artists in AEW say, well, let us put it on. It's like, it's not supposed to be put on professionally. It is done by a serial killer. He's off his frickin' rocker, and this is the makeup he's putting on, almost like war paint. Is it a little bit crooked? Yeah. Is it thicker in places and thinner in others? Sure. That's the idea, because the guy is off out of his mind. And he puts the Painmaker makeup on, and he goes out and beats people up in wrestling, or kills people in this universe that we are creating. So that's really cool too. So send any Painmaker art that you might have. If you've ever dressed up as the Painmaker, send it, and I'll post it all. This is going to be a huge, the next 5-6 years is going to be a huge time for the Painmaker and for all of us who believe, who are scared, and who follow this very conflicted, yet oh so super freaking cool character. All right, guys, thank you so much once again. Semcor.io/deathatfirststing if you want to check out the second episode of the Painmaker NFT and get ready for a whole bunch more cool stuff. I am Chris Jericho. I am your humble host. And we will talk to you again very, very soon. Oh, yeah.